Okay, so this is Sam McClary. I'm here at the EG Industrial Logistics Summit. I'm here with Chris Middleton and Charlie Paul. Chris is a robotics expert and journalist, and Charlie set up and runs Stogo, which is a very interesting business that we have also featured at EG a little bit before, and the music is playing loudly for us. It's like an intro. So we're here this morning, and we've talked a lot about sort of the future of industrial. Chris, you gave us a view on the sort of rise of robotics, and you talked a lot about the industrial robots, and particularly about how in China they've been buying a lot of them. What do you see for the future of industrial here in the UK? Can you see this market really catching on to using automated systems?
Yes, I mean, there are a lot of very innovative new companies in the UK. There's one called Automata, for example, that makes what they call cobots. So these are industrial robots that are smaller, smarter. And then it all becomes about creating a platform rather than a sort of big, dumb, single-use machine. It's about creating smaller, smarter, programmable machines. Then it becomes about the app, so they become platforms for apps. And the UK is doing pretty well in that space. So these are robots that will work amongst people doing, you know, quite specialised tasks, and they can be programmed to do entirely new tasks, the next day. You know. So there's a lot of potential for that, particularly in a company like in a country like the UK, which has an industrial past but sort of a less certain industrial future. Creating smaller, smarter, more localised businesses, I think, would be a really good thing for the UK. Sort of what Charlie's doing with warehousing, but sort of for manufacturing and industrial processes.
Sure. And Charlie, do you see robotics, automation have an impact on your business?
Yes, because I think our business just has to adapt with the industry. And I think the industry will have to adopt robotics, really, because to keep its competitive edge, when you see robotics being adopted so heavily, in especially in places like China and the US. But automation will have to come in, not only to deal with the increasing complexity of logistics, but also one of the things that we heard in the EG analyst summary was the issue of workforce. Everybody complains about robots taking people's jobs, but actually one of the biggest problems with warehouses is finding people to work in them. And I think to deal with that problem, automation will come in more and more, and our business will just have to adapt to that.
And that was one of the points that you made, Chris, actually, wasn't it? That robotics doesn't just take jobs, it actually creates jobs, that it might take the unskilled jobs away, but creates these highly skilled jobs, and maybe they're the jobs that people do want in warehouses.
I think there are two types of skills that will be important in the future. Either very, very niche in industry specific skills, and I think, you know, that kind of depth and expertise in a very niche area is something that will be incredibly valuable in the years to come. But also very transferable skills between industries and kind of between industry processes. It's been talked about by a number of the presentations today. Having skills that you can transfer and use in different ways, I think, is very much going to be the battleground for the future. It's typically about sort of 10 unskilled jobs out and 2.5 brand new skilled jobs in within organisations. But as we were saying, the robotic sector and autonomous systems, AI and so on, is going to create entirely new types of jobs. And many people think that in time, in the long term, the employment impact will actually be neutral. It will be just a different economy with mass unemployment isn't the big problem. It's economic disparity and lack of skills, lack of transferable skills.
And one of the other things that we talked about this morning was supply, and James Charles from EG saying that if you look at the figures, it looks like supply is dwindling and it's getting really serious. But Charlie, you said that actually inside those units, there is space that could be used. Do you think that as we become much more clever with how we manage warehouse space, that, particularly with the use of automation, that that supply problem will still exist, or will it be a different kind of problem?
I think it will rebalance itself. As the supply becomes more constrained from a lease perspective, it's going to force people to think more innovatively about the space that they already have available. And that really means forcing them to optimize their spaces. And just at the same time that that's happening, businesses like ours are coming, and other, which you can bracket under the sharing economy or access economy, are opening up people's minds to the ideas of rethinking how they use space. And it would have been sort of unthinkable 10 years ago, sort of pre-Airbnb, to think about sharing a warehouse with another customer who that you just met online, like a dating service. But actually, we found people are very well open to that idea, and Airbnb has completely normalized that. And now that we've broken through that barrier, people can not only optimize their space, but they sort of competitively occupy their space because they realize that it transforms the bottom line economics of their businesses.
So we could swipe right for more space and swipe left for less space, maybe.
Someone recently described us as a Tinder of warehouse space.
And I guess thinking about apps like that to manage space, that gives us, you know, the sort of AI intelligence on how and where we build in the future.
Well, data is the key behind all of these things. I mean, as I said in my presentation, robots of every kind are sort of the eyes and ears and the hands of the internet, if you like, and sensors are as well. And so the more we gather data about how services are being used, how warehouses are being used, products are being used, that feeds back, it creates a sort of virtuous circle, you know, feedback loop into how the services are developed and how they're designed. So I think, you know, all businesses are really going to become a lot smarter, and the more data you can gather, the better.
And so for listeners to the podcast and delegates here today, what would be the one piece of advice you would give to people about the future of industry and logistics?
Big picture, stop thinking in simple terms about, you know, robots are going to replace jobs, software, AI is going to replace jobs, and think about how these new types of technologies, these new options, can actually make you rethink your business completely and actually do the same things a lot better, a lot more locally, a lot more efficiently, a lot more autonomously. The opportunity to, instead of having some massive global supply chain with the environmental damage that causes, to create sort of smaller local units dotted around the country, and so Charlie's doing something similar with the warehousing. Breaks apart businesses and, you know, makes them more local and more efficient. That process applies right across what's happening in robotics and AI and autonomous systems.
And Charlie, apart from obviously using Stoger, what advice would you give to people?
I think what Chris said about rethinking your business is the key bit. It's open your eyes, because this industry, both the real estate side and the logistics side, is quite a relatively slow-moving, backward, relationship-driven industry that is going to be changing and evolving very quickly over the short to medium term. And it will be those companies that think outside the box that will be able to keep up and stay ahead of competition.
Brilliant. Charlie, Chris, thanks ever so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.